So the band's new album, The Human Machine, came out in April in Pulverized Records. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, it's they're saying it's the 10th official master release. I guess it is. Somebody put out an illegal EP, and for some reason everybody's included that in the 10. But anyway, it's the 10th release. The album it deals with the problems with the world today. I write records about what's happening in my life and what I see going on in the world around us. The album's going to be sad, but people are working for their getting stronger and trying to annihilate each other and try and show who's the most powerful and this and that, and technology's taking over, etc. And people are becoming human machines. It's really freedom is a thing of the past. You know, it's like when I was younger growing up, people were more apt to think freely. Today it's like the televisions, the teachers, society dictate the way people live. People don't think for themselves anymore, and it's a terrifying thing for me, you know?
But don't you think that with all this technology, there's actually easier access for more information to people to think?
Yeah, more information about yourselves. The government's out there. They know everything about you. You got to be careful what you say, when you say it now. It's not free anymore. And actually, you're speaking about technology. With all this great technology today, America, AP, and all these scientists in America, they can't stop the flow of oil in the Gulf of Mexico still. That's a good question. You know that is. I just thought about it. But anyway, it's a pretty sad situation over there, man. They're taking off kind of ruining. Yeah, we're supposed to.
Excuse me, what? It just kind of like cut off or something.
Okay, doesn't matter. Anyway, I'm just a little confused about the situation in the USA right now, and it's not a good thing for anybody. You know, and just speaking about the situation, I didn't realize there was all this oil in the Gulf of Mexico. You know, why in Iraq and Iran and trying to get oil in the Middle East as well, if we've got oil in our own backyard?
Well, but it's controlled by different interests, so that's why it's not, you know, it's always the American way of having more, it's better.
Yeah, of course. I agree with you. I'm an American, we know this. That's funny, but I think you're right, it's a good point.
So, I mean, there were 3 years in between releases, and, I mean, they're usually kind of more evenly spaced. Why did it took a little bit longer for this album?
3 years? Where do you get 3 years?
Well,
let me explain it, okay? So, the last record was recorded, you're right, in 2007, and the next record was recorded in 2009, but it took Pulverized Records till 2010 to release it.
It
was ready in December, actually. I sent it to them just before the new year, and they didn't release it. It's not my fault, you know. I'm really wrecked because I'm all the time playing the world, you know. I don't have a lot of free time, really.
And do you think that now, I mean, since most bands are making less money than before, if they were making money off record sales?
Go ahead, please say it again. Yeah, I lost you. Sometimes it cuts out for me, too. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Do you think that, I mean, like you mentioned, you're pretty busy touring. Do you think now that's the main focus that a band or a musician should take in order to make, you know, a living off of the music?
I really didn't get your question so well, but it's breaking up a little bit. But the reality is that living off your music, you need to tour, of course. You know, obviously, Master's not selling fucking 50,000 records a year. I wish, you know, but the reality is that we're not, and so I have to go out and tour as often as possible. I'm making my money really from merchandise more than anything else, from T-shirts, hooded sweatshirts, hats, etc. That's where I make my money. Yeah.
And have you seen any differences between, I mean, since the whole music industry is pretty much going down with the whole legal piracy?
Oh, yeah, of course. That's a great point. Oh, you're right on the money there. Rock my money. The reality is that, of course, everybody's downloading the damn CDs for free. It's really crappy today, you know? It's like we're trying to make a living, and all the artists are suffering, except for, let's say, bands like Motorhead or Slayer, where they're selling fucking half a million copies. For them, maybe it's okay, but for us, for the underground bands, we're suffering. We're struggling, trying to survive. It's a reality.
And over the years, have you actually, because I mean, we see that a lot of bands in the underground, they actually say that they gain more fans, even though, yeah, they make a little bit less money off their albums by, CD sales. Do you think that it kind of offsets it, or it's just bad overall?
No, it doesn't help at all. These cheap motherfuckers download the CD for free. They come to a show and they don't buy anything. That's not true, man. Anybody who says, "Oh, you get all this free promotion from the free CDs," it's bullshit. People aren't coming to the shows, man. Years ago, more people were coming to the shows. Right now, a big problem in Europe, for anyway, over here in Europe, is that there's so many concerts in Berlin and in Prague, let's say, in the Czech Republic. You got a concert every day of the week. You know, it's very difficult today. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, something kind of similar is still happening in the U.S. Now the labels are flooding the market too.
Yeah, they're flooding the market with a bunch of garbage. Good point. Yeah, this new core crap. I forgot what it's called. I can't stand it. Whatever. It's not original. It's crap. Bunch of short-haired idiots jumping up and down, and they have no image and no style, and they're copying all the bands from the past. It's crap. Yeah.
So I'm assuming that would never happen to Master.
Oh, Master's fucking always going to be hardcore underground, man. That's the reality for me. You know, if it was about making a ton of money, I would have quit a long time ago. I still enjoy getting on stage and playing my concerts, touring around the world at the expense of the record companies and agencies, and that's great. Yeah, really.
And I mean, as we see, there's pretty extensive touring for this album in Europe and South America, but no dates in the US. Are there any plans for the US or?
Yeah, that's a good, damn good question, man. We toured the USA last year and the year before successfully, and I went with a new agency this year because the other agency quit. He's only doing his festival now, the CIM Metal Festival in Illinois. Doesn't want to do this anymore, booking shows, so I went with a new agency. And we were discussing a tour in October with Mayhem, and then Mayhem changed their schedule to later. And so for me, it's better to go on tour 6 Feet Under in October in Spain, France, and Portugal. Of course, I make more money with 6 Feet Under. You know, I mean, obviously, I want to go to the USA, and this is unfortunate. The new album's out, and we're not touring America. It's quite ridiculous. So I'm really hoping that maybe in January and February next year we'll tour the U.S. I wrote the guy today actually at MySpace and told him keep me in mind if anything comes up. He said there's too many big bands that are touring at the time in October when I wanted to come, and he said that the band Master will be overlooked. So I have to take his advice. He's a professional, so am I. So maybe next year, yeah.
And how do you feel that the whole touring situation is different in the U.S. and in Europe, where sometimes the distances between venues are just way bigger here in the U.S.?
Yeah, well, obviously the problem is the reason why the distances are so far in the USA is because these agencies don't know how to book tours properly. I noticed. I mean, for example, many times we like from Chicago to San Francisco in one day. Oh, it was fucking hell, man. We made it, but it was hell. Over here, the tours are organized a little bit more professionally, I guess, in some ways. What can I say? Maybe it's like you said, it's smaller here, so it's easier. But then on the other hand, I don't want to say that it never happens. Sometimes we have to travel 10 hours, you know, to, like from from, let's say, Germany to Rome, Italy or something. Sometimes it happens to us too, but not as often as it happened to me in America. Let's put it that way, huh?
And
nobody's perfect. But I want to just say none of the agencies are perfect. So obviously, they're trying to book shows, and sometimes they don't look at the map. You know, you know, even here in Europe, it happens to me sometimes. You got to look at the map, you know.
And what made
that was a good. That was a damn good question, though. Really.
What made you change where you're based off to Czech Republic from the U.S.?
Well, I left Chicago. Actually, I was living in Phoenix when I had a master lineup in Arizona, and we toured Europe with a band with Love and Creation, of course, famous band, and another band called Kravathor, like a famous Czech band.
Mm-hmm.
I became friends with the guys, which is natural after 50 days in an old broken down school bus with no toilet. you either hate each other or you like each other. Well, we had a good time anyway. This was in 1999, and I discussed recording a project with these guys. I came to the Czech Republic, recorded with these Kravathor members, and shortly after the recording, they offered me a job, so I moved to Europe, sold all my stuff. And coincidentally, this was just when Bush was coming into power, so I left at the right fucking time, man. Really.
Yeah, that is true. Well, we actually interviewed you with Kravathor, like, in 2000, I think.
Oh, really? That was the beginning. Yeah, okay, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, when you guys toured in Mexico, actually.
Okay, yeah, okay. Rock and roll, man. Long time ago, yeah. Well, actually, the guitar player from Kravathor way back, if you met him, Christopher or whatever, he's in America now. He's happy. He lives in Chicago. He's got a green card. It took him a long time. He's a happy man. He's an American. He's proud of it. And good for him, yo.
Yeah.
It's like we traded places. I live about maybe 2 miles from his mother's house, you know, and now he lives in Chicago, where I grew up. It's quite interesting. We switched places, you know.
Yeah. And I mean,
but you know, but you know, more power to him. I'm not criticizing him. Good for him, you know. He don't want to play music anymore. He's a maintenance man. He's working working for some apartment complexes, and he likes it. So hey, good for him, you know.
Yeah.
He's living the American dream, you know.
And do you think you're doing that now in the Czech Republic, in a way?
Oh, you know, I'm living the fucking. I'm living free, man. There's where the reality comes in, man. That there's more freedom in Europe than there is in America. I mean, America used to be free when I grew up, but now there's so much fucking control everywhere. It's pathetic. Over here, the police don't bother me. They don't look at me. They don't ask me questions. They don't come anywhere near my house, yeah? You know, when I was living in America, I'd walk around the streets and or leave a bar or whatever, and the cops wouldn't ask me a question. Why do you got all these tattoos? Why do you look like you? Who are you? Blah, blah, blah. Let me see your license, blah, blah, blah. They're not asking these questions over here. They don't give a shit, dude. They're used to freaks everywhere, you know? In Europe, there's freaks all over the place. It's like some areas of Europe are like America was in the 70s, you know? Bunch of hippies, and it's actually cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly true. I know what you mean. Whenever we go to festivals in Europe, it's a completely different atmosphere.
I mean, I'm not saying that the police don't fuck with some people. Sure they do. This is, you know, it's government control everywhere. It's getting to be ridiculous, of course. But I'm just saying that for the last, 10 years that I've been here, I found a lot more freedom than when I left. Let's just put it that way, yeah? But, you know, for example, when I went back to America last year and the year before, I actually had zero problems. I had some questions, you know, like, where have you been and why are you here and stuff, like at the airport and stuff like this, customs. But in the end, I had really had a pleasant time both times last time, so I just want to make sure that you print that. I had a good time in America, and I want to come back and tour again, so I hope it happens, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We also hope the same. And going back to the actual band and everything, what kind of future plans or what is your future vision of what you want to be doing with Master in the next few years?
Well, the same thing. More records, more touring, you know. It's the strangest thing, but like, let's say the last 10 years, I've done more shows the last 10 years than I ever did in my life. And actually, in the last 3 years, I've done more shows than I ever did in my life. You know, we're doing over 100 shows a year. Sometimes the chef, will you? My new dog. Sorry. We're doing like over 150 shows a year sometimes, you know. All these new opportunities are opening up again in South America. I just did Brazil. Next month, I'm going to Venezuela and Colombia. And, you know, you think that these third world countries, as they call them, don't have any money. Oh, they have plenty of money. They're paying really well, these shows, believe me.
Hell yeah, and they get sold out and everything.
Yeah, I mean, they pay you decent money. It's what? Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
So, and musically, what do you think that will allow, the band to be, you know, still somewhat, relevant in the whole, in this whole scene that has bands popping out every 5 minutes?
It doesn't matter. You know, for me, this is true. It's a good point. The big problem we have today is that everybody and his brother's in a band. I agree. The neighbor's in a band. The neighbor's down the street. Everybody's in a band. But for me, why it works for me and why I get tours every year and so many shows, obviously, is because Master's been around since 1983 and 84. So for me, longevity is keeping me alive. It's a reality. You know, and then when you got bands like Napalm Death covering your songs and other bands, the list goes on that write down that they were influenced by a master, or sometimes they talk about me, blah, blah, blah. It helps, too. A lot of the bigger bands, they know the band, and sometimes it opens up new venues for me. Sometimes I get a good tour, you know, for example, with Six Feet Under, because I know the band. They're cool guys. They know Master kicks ass. And that way I get concerts. It works, no?
Yeah, exactly. And how do you feel that newer audiences, there are more, you know, used to like a more synthetic studio magic sound? Whenever they hear Master, they react to.
Yeah, it's quite funny that you say that, because what makes me laugh with this silly, generic sound, as I would call it, with the typewriter drums, is that most of these bands can't do this shit live. You know, you hit a record and they're selling 500,000 copies of a record, and then all of a sudden you go to a show or you see a video of these people, and they can't play the shit live. Master still does a raw underground sound on the records, and obviously a raw underground sound live, so I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to cheat. I don't care. I'm playing the same thing that I've been playing for 25 years, and smiling. You know, and the kids are still out there yelling, "Funeral Bitch," or "Pledge of Allegiance," or "Pay to Die." And I'm still playing the same raw, aggressive form that I did in the beginning. So for me, it's not a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with you that, you know, some of the critics are, "Oh, man, you got an old sound." And when I read a review like that, I just smile. It's like, hey, what do you want me to get a synthetic sound like the rest of the world so I can sell a bunch of records and not be able to play it? Come on. It's ridiculous, you know?
And I mean,
for me, anyway, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it makes perfect sense. We also agree that a band should play what they do in the record live, more or less.
I mean, obviously, an old guy like me, okay, the vocals live in some parts of some of the songs, they aren't what they were in 1983. I'm an old man, but I do my best, you know?
Yeah.
Many of the songs sound exactly the same. Some parts, okay. I can't reach a scream in a certain tone I could 25 years ago, but, hey, that's understandable. But at least I'm not cheating and pushing a button, you know, and lip-syncing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, some people are saying I'm singing live better than I ever did. Well, that may be true. But obviously, there's parts that, you know, you could always improve on. But, hey, you know, 25 years ago is a long time ago. So I do my best, you know. It's cool. I admit that, of course.
And over the years, you've been involved in countless projects. Are there any other projects that you're doing now, or you're focusing?
No, only Master. ever since the Spirit of the West, since the Spirit of the West in 2005, I think it was, maybe 2004, I've just been concentrating on Master. I mean, it doesn't mean there aren't opportunities. There's opportunities. There's a lot. I meet a lot of good musicians all the time around the world. You know, I'm traveling on the road with all these different bands. I see a lot of people. You know, I always think about new projects and new ideas. But at this time, I'm just trying to concentrate on one thing, which is master, you know.
And if you ever, I mean, if you could take your pick of collaborating with, I mean, whoever in the scene, who would you pick?
Who would I pick to collaborate with? Oh, that's a good question. Oh, I never really thought about that too much. That's a good question. Who would I want to collaborate with? But probably, I tried to once already. Probably Filthy Animal Taylor. You know, I tried to collaborate with him before, but he just, the minute you mentioned the name Motorhead, he didn't want to jam. He left the building. He left the building twice on me when I tried to talk to him about jamming. Mickey D's drum set was upstairs in Hollywood where I was staying, and we could jam, and the minute I mentioned Motorhead, he left the building. It happened to me twice in 1 week. Filthy Animal Taylor, maybe that crazy guitar player, from Venom, the original guitar player, way back when.
Yeah.
No, not Mantis. Let me think for a minute. I don't remember Venom. Kronos. What was his name? Mantis or what? The guitar player?
I don't remember off the top of my
head. Yeah, Mantis. Yeah, right, Mantis, because the drummer was Abaddon. Yeah, I'd love to jam with Mantis. I'll tell you what, you know who I'd really like to collaborate with would be my original guitar player. And we've been talking about this for years, but he's just flaky all the time on me. Oh, Chris Middlebrunn would be great to play with again, but it'll never happen. He's married with children, and he's got a different life than I do, yo, and he never went on tour. He and I played maybe 3 or 4 shows together in the beginning and never toured together. The band broke up long before touring ever happened, yo. But Chris Middlebrunn would be great to jam with again, yo. That's pretty much it. I don't know.
And, I mean, that music style, I mean, you're pretty set in your old school sound. Are there any chances that you might consider doing something, you know, different?
No. I see it one way. It's like, for example, when you put on a Motorhead album, you're going to hear the Ace of Spades on every record, man. It's called style. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not the same song, okay? It's rewritten, let's say. But it's called style, you know? When you hear Black Sabbath, same thing. You know it's Black Sabbath. When you hear Master, you know it's Master. You know, there's this band I was just on the internet before you called me on Skype. They're called Outburst. They play like thrash metal. They're from Holland, and I know some of the guys from the band. And I laughed because I read a little blog here. They're gonna start practicing. They're gonna change the name to Outburst Grindcore, something like this. So now they're gonna play in a grindcore band. They're gonna try that out. Well, geez, when I read that, I just started laughing. Are they fucking crazy or what? I mean, what should I do? Should I turn Master into black metal band now? And put, you know, makeup on my fucking beard and my eyes and stuff and look like a fucking idiot or what? No way. I'm going to stick with what I know best, yeah? Not ready to jump on black metal scene or anything else. I'm going to play Master like I always have, you know? And, of course, when you see guys, you know, rest in peace, but guys like Dio, of course, or you see Lemmy, or Geezer Butler, you know, they're still fucking out there touring. I'm going to keep doing the same thing. Yeah, these guys got their own style. I got my style. I'm going to keep drilling into people's heads until they accept it. I hope one day they do, yeah. And if not, fuck them, you know. I'm still headlining, you know, big festivals. I got a huge festival in Holland coming up in November. The headliners are Master and Sodom, so some people still believe, okay?
Yeah, no, exactly. And, I mean, since...
I'm just making a point that some people still believe, yo. They're paying good money and they're paying Sodom good money. I already know that. It's a big festival. We're both going to kick fucking ass. Some of the original guys, you know?
And, yeah, and especially in the last few years, there's been a lot of nostalgia about a lot of bands coming back. I mean, especially in the thrash metal scene, but that's probably what's pushing a lot of the older bands these days, too.
Sure, I agree. It's a good thing. In some ways, it's a good thing. In other ways, it's not. But whatever. It's like in death metal, for example, right now, a lot of bands are reforming. And I'm not going to mention who the bands are because it'll just cause more trouble for them. But anyway, and me too. But a lot of these bands are reforming, and it's like you look at them, and they're fucking bald and fat and look stupid, and they're out there touring and shit. It's like, man, I never left. You know, it's strange to me that, you know, a lot of the people go and see these bands and they look like a bunch of fucking idiots. It's like they don't even look cool anymore. Sure, they play some heavy music, but man, music for me has always been about image as well as fucking talent and style, you know. But it's just my opinion. I've been saying it in magazines and pissing off everybody for the last 10 years. But hey, you know, when you look at a picture of Paul Speckman on tour or at a concert or, you know, a photo live, he still looks like a fucking metalhead, yo. I don't look like a fucking bald-headed, fat fucking idiot, all right? I'm still stuck with it. I'm still stuck, unfortunately, in the underground, but I'm still having a damn good time, and I'm still fucking the same, yo. Just my opinion, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Just my opinion, man, you know.
And would you think that whenever your image is permanently changed by age, do you think that that would be a...
Well, my beard's getting fucking grayer and my hair is getting thinner, but I'm still going to stick with it as long as I can, of course.
Would you
I'm
think...
never going to cut my beard, that's for sure.
Do you think that that would be a good reason to, you know, stop the band if you ever become one of the fat, bald persons that you mentioned?
Of course. It's finished, because that would be a hypocrite. Yeah? That is one thing that I'm not a hypocrite, you know? For sure. When it gets to be ridiculous and I start looking fucking silly on video or in pictures, then you're right, it's time to retire. And sometimes you gotta wonder about some of these guys that really do look pitiful and they don't retire. You have to wonder. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you wanna go out on top, or you wanna at least go out doing your best. Yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
Look at your best. Your best. It's just, like I said, it's my opinion, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it sounds pretty reasonable. There's some bands that it's just, like, not fun to watch anymore.
Yeah, it's like, it gets to that point. It's like, hey, dude, do you realize it's time to retire or what? Why don't you go fishing? You know, or go pick some mushrooms in the forest or make some wine or slivovitza like I do now, you know? Whatever. You know?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, for example, who the fuck wants to go and see the Rolling Stones anymore? That's fucking ridiculous. There's a good example right there. Okay, they make millions every time they go on tour, but dude, you know, the Rolling Stones were kick-ass in the late 70s or whatever, early in late 70s. But come on, in 2010, it's pretty, like, ridiculous if you see a video of the Rolling Stones live or a concert and, you know, on television or whatever, they look pretty terrible. I mean, who the fuck wants to look at Keith Richards anymore, dude? You know? Actually, I can hear you better now. A couple times it was cutting in and out, but now it's smooth. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just to kind of close it off, I mean, I'm sorry. I get confused.
Hey, man, I do too sometimes. Okay, it's all right.
Yeah, if you guys had, like, unlimited budget, which is highly unlikely most of the time, for live performance, what would you think you use to bring the whole experience to the fans?
Oh, man, if I had a lot of fucking money, I'd have full stacks of everything, you know, like all these big bands do, you know? 10 Marshall stacks, 10 Ampeg stacks, you know what I mean? The drum riser from hell. I already have the great master banner, which I don't bring so often because it's so goddamn big. Anyway, you know, I'd have fucking bombs and explosions and fire, you know, all that kind of crazy shit. But it'll never happen, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you heard about, just a question for you, and I'm just a little confused about this too, but have you heard about this, a metal concert on a ship from Florida to Cozumel, Mexico or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 70,000 pounds of metal. Yeah, it sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, this is the coolest. Well, I wrote these guys last week, and they wrote me back and said, oh, if the booker's interested, he'll get a hold of you. Well, you know, there's supposed to be 70 bands on there. I can't believe that this booker still hasn't contacted Master. It's quite ridiculous to me. 6 Feet Under's on there, you know, Obituary, Sodom, you know, a lot of bands. It's like, I wonder sometimes if these American people have ever heard of Master, you know? It's strange to me. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not the, it's, Master's not the biggest band in the world, okay, but we do have a following, and I have been selling records, and I've been doing it for fucking 30 years, you know, and it's like, I would think on this boat out of 70 bands that Master would be a shoo-in for sure, but I've never heard from the guy. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Especially if they're listening, if they're going to be listening to this, it's a good heads up.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll keep my fingers crossed, you know, because I'd like to play this fucking thing, you know.
Yeah, so
I like to. So speaking of new technology, that for me, that's a new technological breakthrough. A metal concert on a ship for a week, whatever. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoever came up with that was fucking very intelligent. That's all I gotta say. I just hope I can get on it, yo.
And any other closing remarks that you wanna tell to? I mean, well.
Yeah. Of course. Just, you know, people go out there and fucking buy the goddamn new CD, The Human Machine. It's underground metal. It's metal from the beginning, man. It's you know, there's all these cheap imitators, and many of these cheap imitators are rich and famous, playing the Master style. I don't need to name them. My point is go and check out Master. See who Master is. Buy the first and second album, even the third experimental album. Check out the last two albums, Slaves to Society, The Human Machine. You won't be disappointed unless you're into this new, you know, programmed crap. You know? That's pretty much it.